welcome back. It's time to go visit Father Kramer in Ireland and find out what's going on from his perspective, which actually matches mine, even though I'm not a Catholic, and many, many of our listeners worldwide. He is a man who has come to be known as the one carrying the torch of truth in the face of very ugly, well, I guess you just call it the Vatican at this point, Vatican maneuvers. It's the Bergoglio part two that we're watching unfold. Here's an article that I got today. Actually, Father Kramer did send it to me. It's very good. The case against Leo the 14th. That's the new pope, if you don't know, Leo the 14th. And it's very interesting. Chris Jackson, as is the name of the author, it's obvious now that I think Father Kramer's warnings have been picked up and listened to and accepted by an awful lot of people. This is a very powerful article. Hello, Father Kramer. Welcome back.
It's good to be back.
Thank you. I think people are finally hearing your message big time. I think it's out.
Yes, there are indications. Even bishops are beginning to wake up now.
Well, you've earned it, and they all earn it. If they make the effort, and to hear them listening and talking, and to see this article is very encouraging. Let me read just a little bit of it. They told us to calm down, to give him time. That's Leo the 14th. To stop pouncing on the new pontificate. Trad Incorporated whispers that Leo the 14th is a man we can work with. Quote, that we should quiet our pens and just let things breathe. Meanwhile, the revolution accelerates under a softer smile, perhaps, and the silence of those who should know better. Right? This is quite a shield they have. What follows is a record just 4 months into Leo the 14th's reign of words spoken, gestures made, appointments confirmed, and scandals ratified. If this is what Trad Incorporated considers encouraging signs, then they have abandoned their vocation as watchmen and chosen instead to play the courtiers of a counterfeit peace, P-E-A-C-E. And that's well said. This is a good writer. Looks pretty good. I'll read the rest of it later. Tell us what's up. Where are we?
Oh, we are basically the world today is in a situation rather like 1939 when it was inevitable that there was going to be a world war, and our Lady of Fatima had given us the antidote how to prevent World War II and World War III from happening, but it was not heeded, and World War II did take place. She said, of course, that the most basic requirement was that people had to return to God, to turn away from sin and return to God, obedience to the divine commandments. That was the number one thing.
Right.
And she said that it would be necessary for the Pope and all the bishops of the world to consecrate Russia to her Immaculate Heart, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Of course, that was never done. It still has not been done. You had this faulty act was not done correctly. Russia was not even mentioned by Pope John Paul II. You had another one done by this counterfeit Pope Francis, and he also, although he mentioned Russia, it was not done with all the bishops, and most importantly, it was not done with a true and valid Pope. So
no, but for those of you who knew, Bergoglio was a fraud, a fake Pope, a fraud Pope. All right, as is Leo the 14th. He's just Bergoglio light, perhaps, or at least appearing to be light. Go ahead.
Well, there was, again, confirming what's going to take place. what was foretold by the message of Our Lady of Fatima. There was a prophetic message given to a French nun by the name of Mother Yvonne Aimée de Malestroit. And in 1922, she had a vision of seeing the great darkness covering the earth, spirals of smoke that seemed to rise up into heaven, up into the sky. And a heavenly voice said to her, "These are the trials to come. They will be absolutely incredible, but rejoice, because know that the Lord will come to help you." And what she saw were the German soldiers. She saw planes dropping what we call bombs. They didn't have bombs, or the kind of bombs we had in the Second World War earlier in the time when she saw that.
Right.
Planes dropping large cylinders over cities, causing huge fires. They, you know, the bombs explode and cause fires.
Those are incendiaries. Yeah.
She saw the number 39. Of course, 1939 is when it all began. She also saw the vision. She saw a tall general decorating her, and that was General Charles de Gaulle, who awarded her the Legion of Honor in July of 1945. She died in 1949. She was born in 1901.
This is all committed to print in the 20s, was it? Written about, spoken about, but preserved. It was on record in the 20s sometime that she was seeing these things?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty profound.
And she says, for example, she saw the green color of the green uniforms that the Germans wore, and they had not yet adopted the green uniforms when she had received the vision. So that was rather impressive.
Yeah.
And that was, so she foretold prophetically the Second World War, but then she also foretold the Third World War. The Third World War and the Russian invasion with its Islamist allies.
Tell me more. What else did she say?
I can mention that when the NATO countries, especially the United States, were becoming more intransigent regarding the situation in Ukraine, Vladimir Putin said that he made his pivot to the Middle East, to Iran, and made more tight relations with Iran regarding their military cooperation.
Oh, they signed a number of agreements. Yes, from large to small. Nothing massive, though, in one fell swoop, but they have increased and improved cooperation across the board. Now it's India, China, and Russia, and Iran, known as the Eastern Axis, in some schools of thought. So, yeah, we're pushing all of our enemies together, we, the West. It's pretty sickening to watch, honestly. But that's exactly what's going on. And, Trump, by the way, did you see where Trump admitted that he bombed Iran for Israel? He did it for Israel. He's such a stooge. It's
yes.
Yeah.
And this was also foretold by another French woman by the name of Marie-Julie Jehenny.
Father Kramer, was the first one you just mentioned a couple of minutes ago, a French woman, but was she in or out of the church to any significant degree, or was she just a normal person in France who had visions?
She was a nun. I forgot the name of her order.
Okay.
She was a member of a religious order. She was an Augustinian nun.
Right. Very good.
That's why she her name she was the mother superior of some of a convent of nuns. So that's why she was Mother Ivan Aime of Malostra. Huh.
Okay.
So she foretold what was also foretold in other revelations, like the revelations made that I mentioned to Marie Julie Jehani and to an Italian nun who was beatified by the church, Blessed Elena Aiello, who foretold the invasion. That Russia will invade Europe. And, of course, Russia is being provoked terribly by the West. The NATO forces are insane. They're acting insanely.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. Never seen anything like it. It's like Satan himself is at the controls here.
And it's going to be a brutal war. Because it's going to be a blitzkrieg against Europe,
mm-hmm.
The warning was given by Blessed Elena Aiello that Russia is in possession of secret weapons.
Putin alluded to that. He said, "We have weapons that the world has never seen, the likes of before." And Trump tried to counter that by mimicking him. But I believe so. I have no doubt, frankly, that they do. These are going to be very, very disastrous times for humanity. And then all in the background, remember, AI is working. AI is working. And this is all a very interesting play to watch. By the way, that article I mentioned, I looked ahead a little bit. It's very interesting, little section header here, canonizing Pope Francis, the deceased, without a process. On May the 18th, Leo the 14th declared at St. Peter's, quote, "I strongly felt the spiritual presence of Pope Francis accompanying us from heaven," end quote. Not, "May he rest in peace," not a cautious appeal to God's mercy. No, Francis was publicly enthroned among the saints, without devil's advocate, miracles, or process. A papal canonization by tweet and homily. 2 days later, Leo doubled down. Quote, "He accompanies us and prays for the church from heaven," end quote. This was the elevation of Pope Francis, Bergoglio, the man who enthroned so many things that were antithetical to traditional Catholicism. He blessed adultery. He sanctioned sodomy. This guy was as poisonous as you get. And now maybe throughout the history of the church there have been others of similar ilk. But this guy is the worst, and Leo the 14th might as well be Francis 2.0. He's just Francis Light, but the darkness is right there in full view.
In a matter of speaking, he's worse insofar as he is not so openly evil
or stealthy.
As was Bergoglio, and. He received in audience the Jesuit pervert James Martin.
Uh huh.
And receives him like a guest of honor. I mean, this is
pretty disgusting.
It's unbelievable that I mean, it's something that a Catholic pope would never have done. A Catholic pope would have excommunicated that pervert, but. Leo receives him as an honored guest. It's just
pretty diabolical stuff. Yeah, it is. I agree.
And the church in Germany, of course, which is no longer even Catholic, it's gone so completely radical. He tells the German bishops that he's accompanying them spiritually with hope or something like the words to that effect. I can't remember the exact phrase he used, but nothing by way of correction. He's approving of them, they're known for having been more radical than Bergoglio himself.
Yeah, he's green lighting the worst. Then I didn't know this. This is bad. I don't know how much longer the church can actually function without some kind of a revolt somewhere. Now, again, I mentioned that you are being listened to. You have tremendous influence now. You've earned it with your honesty and your observations about the church. But what are the rank and file going to do? First of all, before I even ask that, I should ask you, what are your thoughts about Catholics the worldwide and their understanding of Francis Bergoglio and the treachery and betrayal that that man literally threw in the face of Catholicism for all the years he was in office? Do they know? Do most Catholics know how they've been sold out? That's the question.
There are so many who are absolutely clueless because they were... Now we're living in an age where so many were born after the Second Vatican Council. And they did not know what the church was like before the revolution began. What is ultimately going to turn them around and bring them back to the Catholic faith, and bring them back to observance of the commandments of God is going to be the oppression that takes place with the war. There's going to be war. There's going to be a great famine throughout the earth. There is going to be what we see happening now in the Western countries, just the absolute madness of the governments. And what has been foretold since the 19th century, the loss of all civil liberties, all the constitutional rights and civil liberties that are disappearing. People are going to be reduced to abject poverty. And we see that happening. People who get their university degrees and they get some of the ones who are lucky enough to get employment, and others are unemployed. So those who get jobs are working and they can't afford to buy a house. They can't afford to rent a house.
No, the dream is gone for them. No, they're slaves of a system that has been carefully assembled and now turned loose on them to keep them down and downtrodden. And they're running out of money. They're in debt. It's a terrible thing over here to watch. I'm sure it's the same over there. It's the entire Western world that has been targeted for demolition. And what's going to come up out of that is something that most people, I don't think, could even imagine. The control, the domination, the censorship, the fear, all of it. It's all in the works. And it's coming. It is coming.
And so many people, Catholics, especially among the Catholics, they have a collective amnesia about things that they already knew about for decades. The New World Order, how the New World Order is to be brought in, and with the complete disappearance of the constitutional process of due process of law, and it is being ushered in by under the guise of immigration enforcement. What we see happening is people are being confronted by men who are not even wearing uniform. They're wearing masks. They're not wearing proper uniforms. Mm-hmm. They're stopping people. They're they're stopping their cars. They're using their own law enforcement vehicles to barge into people's cars to break, terrifying
people. They're bullying people. It's worse than bullying. No, these are thugs and then some. I agree.
They're not coming up to people with an arrest warrant. No. They're not coming up to people who are in the act of committing a crime or about to commit a crime with some reasonable, articulable suspicion and confronting them. And what they're doing is that they're just laying violent hands on people and dragging them off. They're dragging them off and throwing them into metal cages.
And these are events occurring almost every day now in the Western, the enlightened Western world. Absolutely. Totally correct.
And so many people and Catholics who should know better, people who read about, who saw videos, who saw documentary films and read articles in journals about the New World Order, how they were planning to put people into detention camps and exterminate 20 or 30 million Americans. It's like they've forgotten all this stuff because they all got mesmerized by Trump. They saw Trump as the great savior, and Trump is just a pawn.
He's a pathetic, morbid, duplicitous, lying, treasonous Zionist stooge. If I missed anything, you can fill it in. It's awful to watch what's happening here. Oh,
he is a stooge. He's not the one in charge. He's just carrying out his assigned task. He's a hired manager, as were so many of the others before him, as was George W. Bush, as was Obama, as was Bill Clinton. They were all just hired stooges. They were all just managers, and they were working for the New World Order. And what we see happening is that people are being rounded up, and I mean, we read about this back in the 90s, that they were building detention camps, that they were going to send people to these detention camps, concentration camps, basically. Those who are considered to be a threat to the New World Order, they will be rounded up, they will be put into these detention camps, into this American gulag. The what they called back in those days, they were calling the FEMA camps. We didn't have Homeland Security yet, and that's what this is all leading to. And now we have people who are being brutalized, being rounded up, no arrest warrants, nothing, no legal process.
No.
No. And people are so duped into thinking that, well, they're only going after criminals who are illegal aliens. They are arresting not only people who are legally resident.
Mm-hmm.
You have foreign residents who are legally in the United States who are being arrested. They arrest and deport first and ask questions later.
I'm not sure how many they're even deporting, Father Kramer. Trump you got 20 to 30 million here. And the last I heard, well, let me see what our AI friend tells me here. Hold on. I'm going to run this and see how many a day are being actually deported from the U.S. How many illegals are being deported every day in the USA? Let's see what AI has to say. There are no official deportation statistics publicly released by the U.S. government, though the Trump administration reported arresting 8 to 11,000 undocumented immigrants after its inauguration. Was that last January? Okay. 8 to 11,000. A figure that's sometimes linked to daily deportation numbers. Deportation is a legal process. Da-da-da-da-da. All right. There's no number. They're not even talking about numbers now. It was something like 2,000 a day. And if you divide that by 30 million and convert it to days, we're talking about a hell of a long time before there's any meaningful deportation done in this country. It's just not happening. And all of Trump's big pronouncements, many of his big moves are being conveniently, and I would suggest in many cases, knowingly overturned, held in abeyance, stopped, put in stasis by the communist Obama judges who are just waiting for Trump to do something else. It's a very morbid show to watch, all of it.
So many of these people are legally in the United States. They are not undocumented. They are documented people who have entered the United States with all the proper procedures have been followed. They are legal residents.
They come in the front door. That's right. Absolutely right. Yep.
And some of them were given asylum, I was reading about a man who was a translator for the American forces in Afghanistan, who was brought to the United States because having worked closely with the American forces, he would be killed if they left him behind with the Taliban.
Sure.
And but this man was deported to Afghanistan. He was legally in the United States. He was given the reward of coming to the United States as an immigrant because he had worked with the U.S. military.
What did Trump do?
Yeah. What did Trump's government do? They rewarded him by sending him back to the Taliban to be killed by them over there.
He's dead. He's dead already, I would imagine. Now this and now the latest here in our hemisphere, Trump has 2,500 Marines, 7 or 8 warships now, sailing back and forth allegedly off the shores of, the international shores of Venezuela. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what they are doing. It's a mess everywhere you look here. We don't have the munitions to fight any kind of a war, let alone a two-front war to help Europe repulse a Russian invasion, to fight in the South China Sea against China. No way. We don't have it. We can't do it. Not to mention the obvious fact, as you well know, that the days of the projection of enormous military force and might by aircraft carrier strike groups is essentially over. They're just floating graveyards. Hypersonic anti-ship missiles exist, and they are apparently rather common now. And any of those targeting a major ship are not going to be stopped. It's not going to happen. We don't have defenses for it. So those days are gone. I foresee some very bad things happening. I don't know if it'll be all-out thermonuclear war, but there are going to be some very grim testimonials to how things have changed and how we can't do a damn thing about it.
Well, the war when the war begins, the United States is prepared to fight a 21st century war with 20th century weaponry.
That's right, and technology. That's right. It's not going to change. We can't catch up. We have largely reduced our inventory. We've disarmed ourselves by sending so much of our material to Ukraine to be burned up in that futile war against Russia. We've sent so much to Israel. It's nauseating what we do to Israel in terms of support. We give them everything they want, and then some. I think the C-5 and C-17s are flying back and forth, probably every day, nonstop, with more materiel. We don't have the inventory stockpile that we need to fight a war. We don't have it anymore. If somebody had said it was 6 days worth, well, it's all we have left. So what are we reduced to? Nuclear weapons. That's all we have. We can't fight a traditional war, especially not with a DEI, fat, overweight military. Wow. You ever seen video of the Chinese military, that big parade they had? You think we can match that? No way. The determination of those troops is frightening. Frightening. They are thoroughly in the program over there. And there are 5 million communist Chinese who are front door residents in the U.S. right now. 5 million. And if you take 10% of that, that's 500,000 troops. Think about it. 5 million, take 10%. Now, Trump just last week said he's allowing 600,000 more Chinese nationals to come over here into the U.S. 600,000 more. And they're all CCP, PLA. So the Chinese actually have, or will have, a potential standing army here, although it'll be clandestine and stealth, of about 1 million men and women right here in the U.S. Think about it. We only have 1.3 million in our entire military. We can't fight that off. Anyhow, it's not a good picture.
I was reading about this, how they were going to do this already in the 90s. In the early 90s, they were talking about how the plan was for between Russia and China the United States, the 48 states, the 48 states of the continental United States would be occupied by the Chinese.
Right.
This is
they have the people here to do it. That's my point. They've got 5 million. I don't know what age they are, but let's say 10% at least are combat ready, combat capable. And Trump just allowed 600,000 more to come in? Do people understand what he's doing or his controllers are doing? Yes, we could be taken down from within, no problem, in this country. That's my take. No problem.
And what is the federal government's response to the situation? They're saying they're just doubling down with the situation with the war in Ukraine and saying that they have they have to arm Ukraine. They have to arm the Zelensky regime even more and support them in their war effort against Russia.
Yep. That's right. This is coming from. Go ahead.
This is not doing Ukraine any favor. I mean, by getting Ukraine, by arming them to fight against Russia, is just helping them get pushed into the meat grinder.
Well, they're literally culling the Christian young. Well, they're taking 60-year-olds now in the military. They're conscripting them. But the true numbers of Ukrainian dead now in this 3.5-year war is 1.8 million dead. And 14 million have fled Ukraine. They're never going to go back. This is another Zionist Jewish coup d'etat. They're taking over the country of Ukraine. Zelensky's a Jew. It's all the same people all the time. And the other war over there, how many fronts is Israel now currently involved with? In terms of dropping bombs from their air force, and shelling them with their artillery and tanks. I think it's something like 7 fronts that they're fighting on. Everything from Syria to the South Lebanon, the West Bank, Gaza, Yemen. They're fighting Yemen. There's 5 right there. There's 2 more. Anyway, it's all disgusting. And we are supporting the genocide and butchery of humanity in Gaza, 100%. This country is doing that. Trump is doing that.
And besides that, we have they're preparing like legislation and such to round up Americans who they consider to be potential security threats.
Potential anti-Semites, too. That's going to be in there.
Yeah.
You're right. Pre-crime screening. Palantir. All going to be projected onto the people. Everything they say, everything they write, everything they do will be processed by AI, and it'll be matching a profile created by them, the controllers, to determine someone who is about to commit, in their view, a crime. And they'll be hassled, questioned, in some cases arrested, hauled off at night. This is all coming.
They will be hauled off. They will be arrested. They will be put into concentration camps. And what we see happening already is the total disappearance of any kind of legal recourse, any due process of law constitutional protections that people had in the past are gone. You have already taking place in the United States today. And not just illegal aliens, but also legal immigrants and also American citizens.
Correct.
Who are being arrested and put into these detention camps. And even if they have the documentation to prove their legality, to prove that they're citizens, they're not even the people, these thugs who arrest them, these masked men, these armed masked men who arrest them, are not even interested in looking at their documentation. They want to haul them off.
No. That's what I hear. You're 100% correct. How does it look from over there? You live in Europe. How does America look to the rank and file Europeans who have their own grievous problems, we know. But how does this country look? Used to be looked upon as a potential savior, a light to the world. No longer.
No, Europeans are afraid to travel to the United States now. You have European governments that are giving travel advisories to their citizens, warning Europeans not to travel to the United States because it's too dangerous to go there.
Wow. And not to travel to their local supermarket because it's too dangerous there. They've been overrun with Islamists, Africans. Just it's horrible. And no one. You saw what happened in Germany, right, with the AfD, the most important political party in Germany, the number one political party in Germany, and the North Westphalian elections are coming up on the 15th, and the AfD was expected to sweep, and 7 AfD candidates in the pending upcoming elections have died suddenly. 7 died suddenly. They were killed. So that's where Germany is right now. Germany is done. Gone. Communists have taken it.
Interesting. In the that last message of... I'm trying to think of his name. David Goldberg.
Oh, yeah. Didn't we play that on the program?
Yeah. He mentioned not only would they be exterminating, detaining people, exterminating them in these
camps.
But
yeah.
Others would be killed with viruses.
Oh, he knew. He was getting inside information.
And we see it happening.
Right. Yeah, well, we have COVID on the rise here again. Father Kramer in the South and the Northwest. They're not saying which strain. I haven't been able to find that yet, but lots and lots of cases. New strain, lab released? Maybe. I don't know. But it's not going away, and you don't want that virus. I urge people to use common sense. No viruses and no needles anymore, if you can help.
And these MAGA fanatics, the way they respond by attacking Goldberg, as if David Goldberg's the only man who ever spoke about these things and just attacked the messenger, I mean,
I haven't seen that. Go ahead. Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I have heard about these things. Mm-hmm. I've heard about Project Zephyr long before I ever heard about David Goldberg, let me tell you. I've heard about this stuff more than 15 years ago.
How interesting. That's really something. I learned about it from Goldberg. Yeah.
But the way these people are attacking Goldberg, as if it's just attack the messenger.
Where are you? They have no intellectual ammunition, so they attack Goldberg. Where are you seeing these attacks? I'm not coming across them. I believe they're there, of course.
It's social media. They're in social media.
Okay. All right. Got it. Yeah. Well, maybe we should play that again sometime on the program. He deserves the exposure. What really happened to David Goldberg, I don't know. But he's no longer producing any information, so it's probably not good.
Well, the day he died, there were witnesses who saw these strangers enter his house, his apartment.
I see. Wow. I didn't know.
So I think you have a pretty good idea what happened to him.
He was in Mexico, I believe, at the time, right? Wasn't he in Mexico? I think he was.
I don't remember where he was. I thought he was in the United States, but I'm not sure.
Anyway, perhaps next visit with Father Kramer, we will play that. It's not very long, but it's profoundly interesting and obviously very important. More than prescient, is spot on with what he said. So we'll do that. You can find it on the right side of my homepage. Just scroll down until you see Final Warning from David Goldberg. It's right there for you. So go listen. It's not very long. Powerful stuff.
And we saw so many, I mean, already back in the 1990s, people who were publishing newsletters, even before the internet was very widespread.
Right.
You received these printed newsletters in the mail talking about this kind of thing that's going to take place in the United States in the near future.
Correct. One was called The Spotlight. Used to present a lot of great information. It was a terrific newsletter. That was one. There were others. The Spotlight. That was the source of much of my early learning, The Spotlight.
There was a Spotlight. There was Criminal Politics.
There were some brave people standing on the First Amendment. Which, you know, you mentioned the Constitution earlier. Americans, to their undying shame, have not held that Constitution high like a weapon over these corrupt politicians in Washington. They haven't done it. They've allowed the Constitution to be pushed further and further into the background. By our silence, we allow, and no one is saying much of anything. And if they do, it's often censored and deleted from the internet, because that's the platform where everybody speaks, and it's all controlled, 100%.
And before anyone had ever heard the name Jeffrey Epstein, remember there was a political commentator, a journalist in Washington, who told me about the unbelievable corruption in Washington, D.C.
Oh.
It was just unbelievable corruption. I was told about this way back in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Congresswoman Ilhan Omar from Somalia, I think it was Somalia, married her brother to get access to living here in the U.S., had a year, I believe it was just a year ago, a net wealth of a couple hundred thousand. Now it's over 30 million. And she's denying that she's a multimillionaire. So where'd that money come from? This is, the corruption. It's almost unimaginable. Whoever told you that was doing you a big favor. It's correct. It goes way, way back. Didn't just start. Nothing new here. But watching Trump and then knowing what's coming after Trump, J.D. Vance, Peter Thiel, and Palantir, that's your next presidency right there. So Trump with his swollen ankles, his possible congestive heart failure profile that he's in, the bruising on the back of his hands, loss of control, incontinence all the way around. He's not healthy. I don't see him making 4 years. I don't. But you never know. At any rate, J.D. Vance would take over. And Vance, who has changed his name 3 times already, God only knows what he's really like. I don't know. He'll be controlled by Palantir. Peter Thiel created J.D. Vance, basically made him into what he is today. A servant. They got a lot of them. All right, we have about 2 minutes left, Father Kramer. Anything we've missed that you want to put on the table tonight?
As far as projecting, making predictions for the future, everything must be put into the context of the coming world war. There's going to be right. a financial economic collapse. There's going to be a world war, which is going to be much worse than the Second World War. So when, as far as people make plans for their life in the future, we've got to factor in that there's going to be a world war and things are not going to be going according to our plans, because people generally have what is called this normalcy bias, and they think things are just going to keep going on like they're going on.
Oh, they do.
But
all right.
They're not going. Things are not going to go on as they're going on. We're looking at the worst world war that humanity will ever have seen, and that's about to begin in the very immediate future.
And a normalcy bias. Yeah. I try to tell people that the contrived demolition of Western culture and society and economics and all the rest of it, it's being taken down. There will be no recovery on the other side like there was in past economic downturns. There's a recovery. People say, well, I'll wait for the recovery. There's not going to be a recovery this time. And when it does come back, eventually, it may not be remotely recognizable.
What kind of recovery can we expect when we have a world in ruins?
Can't. And the plan, you know, the interesting thing about war plans, they never go according to plan. They go, things happen, and bad things can happen, far worse than are even planned. I don't know. I think in this coming war, there will be multiple biological weapons used as well. EMP pulse weapons will annihilate anything controlled by a computer. It's going to be go for broke, friends. There's no halfway on this one. When it happens, it's going to be brutal.
And that leaves us with the one point of hope, of course, is the message of Fatima. Our Lady of Fatima said, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me. Russia will be converted, and a period of peace will be given to the world. So the world will be spared from total destruction.
Well, I'll take that and hold it closely, for sure. All right, Father Kramer, thank you again for getting up, being up, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Okay, bye now.
All right, good night. Father Paul Kramer, and he is generating quite a following. Okay, it's great news. Back with you Monday. It's a weekend already. Do try and set a few things aside. I know it's very difficult for all of us financially to do that. But try, especially if you've got a family. All right. Have a good weekend. Every day is a blessing. Don't forget that. And be kind to others. Talk soon. Take care.